Yeah, the biggest takeaway is crossing the finish line. I think we were both like, oh man, that was actually a blast.
Yeah.
Especially for us, because we train together all the time. I think the fact that we could actually do something and compete together, it's something very different.
Low Tide Boys, a swim run podcast. I'm Chip.
And I'm Chris, and this is episode 117 of the show. We have a super random, extra special random episode for everyone this week. We've gone deep, real deep as we can go, into the LTBZ vault and found a one-off podcast that we recorded after racing our second swim run back in 2018. We're talking about Swim Run USA's, now Odyssey Swim Run, Casco Bay, the Cole Classic. This is a peek back in time to the primordial origins of LTBZ and the race that caused us to fall in love with the sport of swim run. Like I said, pretty random, but first.
Training update. So we've put it off long enough. Chris was busting over with FOMO from me swim running on my own in Catalina, yeah. And we had to get an AP.
I take it back, though.
I know. I will say we both were texting each other like a couple of giddy schoolgirls, like, oh yeah. I'm so excited for tomorrow, we gotta go swim running together and stuff, and were high.
I printed out a sticker with the training plan.
It was great.
We did like one swim.
It would last one swim, and we did our first swim and practice together in Aquatic Park. Short story, the water was cold AF.
Yeah,
now for you not cool people like the Low Tide Boys, AF is mean it cold as fuck. That shit was cold. It was 51 degrees Fahrenheit. For our European folks, that's 10.5°C. Again, cold AF. Despite that, we were able to bust some rust and start dialing in the transitions and the different paces as we head towards Lake James. And also, I think it was a good... I think when we originally got in, we were like, ooh, okay, it's cold. But we swam in cold water. And then as the practice went on, it didn't... You know, usually you kind of get used to it a little bit.
It
that never happened.
Freeze,
it was
like every swim.
Headache every swim. And I'm like, oh, man, I'm really falling
Plus,
off.
Plus, the thermometer was just lying to us. What did it say, 64?
64.
That was a lie.
But it had all this algae on it and stuff, so I think the algae was, like,
just
insulating
got busted,
it.
Yeah.
And I had to chip away ice to get to it, so I don't know. Maybe we should have looked at that as something. But Swimmer in Lake James, less than a month away here. Yeah. Super excited for that.
Very stoked.
And on related news, let's just transition right into this week's shout-outs.
Yeah, so as Chipper mentioned, so by chance, when we were in Aquatic Park, this gentleman by the name of Dan Streetman, he was running in the Embarcadero on Saturday morning, and you know, basically while we were experiencing brain freeze, and he noticed us, basically the only two dudes running out of the water, then like basically jaunting down the street, and he snapped a photo to send to his Swedish coworker. Footnote, future guest of the show, Anna, mentioned that he saw a couple of swim runners. Long story short, Anna recognized us and proceeded to blow Dan's mind by telling him that she was going to be on the show and that we were the Low Tide Boys. So it's such a small world when you think about it.
Yeah, and it was so funny. Anna shared the slacks with us. He's like, I think I saw some swim runners in Aquatic Park or where I'm at. And when we saw him, you know,
I totally remember there was this guy in a blue shirt who was kind of like, hey, you know, like the look of comprehension. It's like,
yes,
I know what's
he
happening.
He understood. We felt understood and seen, and he saw us. And it wasn't the bewilderment, like head tilt to the left. It was like, recognize them, head tilt to the right.
It was like amusement.
Yeah, he's like, whoa, okay, cool.
Yeah, on the scale of bewilderment, befuddlement, and amusement, he was on the amusement side.
Okay. Hopefully he was amused as we were trying to get
some
heat into the body.
Actually DM'd him, and he was like, oh, man, that's so great.
That's hilarious. Yeah, awesome. And again, small world, and hopefully we'll welcome someone new into the Low Tide Boys Strava Club for feats of endurance.
Yeah.
Now, for this week's Feats of Endurance, I was thrilled to be following along with this saga on IG last week. Major Feats of Endurance alert and award here goes to Marika Wagner. Might have sound familiar, former guest of the show, just a few episodes back.
Kicked off 2022.
And her partner Ingrid for their completion of the 2022 Cape Epic. Now, if you don't know what the Cape Epic is, it's a 8-day mountain bike stage race that covers 700 kilometers or 435 miles with 17,250 meters of climbing. And that translates to almost 57,000 feet of climbing.
Yeah.
Over the 8-day mountain bike race in
on the Cape. South Africa. Yeah.
So
it's wild.
I mean, this might be the largest feat of endurance we've had.
Yeah.
So congratulations.
I mean, just like the week of endurance, not even a feat.
It was so great to follow along on her IG stories.
Oh, footnote. They're not even in our Strava club because I don't think they're on Strava, but I think it was still worthy.
Well, yeah, it's still worthy. Considering we make everything else up about the show, we can make up who wins it and who doesn't. So if you want to be in our Strava club, it's easy. All inclusive. Anyone can join. Head on over or not. Head on over to Strava, search Low Tide Boys, and join in the swim runners from around the globe as they train for stuff like freezing swim runs like we had on Saturday, or 8-day mountain bike stage races climbing, you know, nearly 60,000 feet elevation.
Yeah, just like a double
just,
Everest.
You know,
in a week.
We welcome all kinds. Now, over to the news desk. Take it away, Chris, for this week in swim run.
All right, welcome to the news desk. Hero Swim Run took place over the weekend in Rio de Janeiro, and the event looked as epic as ever. Joining us to talk about how the race went is our friend and race director, Fabio Iskandarian, for our special segment, Race Director Reports. Take it away, Fabio.
Race Director Reports. Psh.
Hello, the Low Tide Boys. I'm Fabio Iskandarian from Brazil, the owner of Hero Swim Run, the first ever race in South America, especially in Brazil. And I'm here to talk about our last race in Búzios, our third edition of Hero Swim Run, and definitely was the best one so far. We had around 340 athletes racing three kinds of distance, 6K for beginners, 10K for intermediate, is the traditional one, and 23K for the tough guys. So considering this last one, the 23K, they had to swim around 4.6 Ks of swimming in 13 sessions and 18.6 K in 14 sessions. We've been trying to follow always the Attila rules in terms of 20% of swimming and 80% of running. Talking a little bit about the place. The race happened in Búzios. It's a city in the coast of Rio. 2.5 hours easy driving from Rio Airport, International Airport. It's a scenic place with some. It's around 17 beaches where the race can cover 17 beaches. And stunning place, a lot of turtles, clear water, warm water. Great infrastructure. The city can offer 1,000 types of accommodations and to support the athletes and the race. So that's why we choose Búzios, considering all these combinations. And it's one of the best tourism destinations in Brazil. So many athletes, they prefer to race as solo. Brazilians are still individuals in this case. Because most of our athletes, they are triathletes, so they're more used to run as solo, but we've been encouraging people to do teams as well, and it's actually the best way to do for me, racing as teams, so you can support each other every time around the course. So the best edition ever. We have been growing around 50% a year in terms of entries, so it's amazing for us to see how the sport is growing. All our effort to implement some good races and deliver a good race, a very structured race. We smashed this year with hydration and signalization. Everything was covered to all of the athletes. We offer 5 energy stations and 5 water stations. So all the athletes, they were covered. And one thing that take me to high emotions, can I say in this way, is the athletes' feedbacks after the race. They were absolutely, I have no words to say. They were excited. They were inviting everyone to do the race. They are posting on Instagram. So everyone is pumped. Everyone is looking for the next race. They are already asking me, when is going to be the next one? Come on, let's do it again. So you guys did a really great race. Thank you so much. I love this sport. They are absolutely loved. And with everything that we do, that we did. So, yeah. So we are, Brazil is an amazing place to do this kind of sport because our geography is a blast for us. And I would like to invite you guys to come. Americans, Europeans, Australians. You guys are all invited to come and try to race here. A purely swim run without wetsuits. Wetsuits are not allowed. Otherwise, you heat up. And you're going to cause some problems for me. So don't bring your wetsuit. Just bring your pool boy, your swimming paddle, running shoes, and come to have fun. Because the race here is a lot of fun. There is competition, of course. But everyone absolutely loved this race. So guys, feel free to check us on Instagram at HeroSwimRun. Comment our photos, our videos. Our official video is already on. So yeah, that's it. You guys are always welcome to come and it will be great to have you here. Thank you so much, Low Tide Boys. See you guys.
Well, it did look like a blast.
Yeah, I mean, it's great. It's great. Warm weather, tropical
swimmer. It was the opposite of what was happening at Aquatic Park.
100% the opposite. 100% the opposite. In other news, Anvil Swim Run recently announced that they're hosting a swim run camp from April 1 to April 3 in Cape Martin, which is in Monaco. So anyone looking to train with Coach Nicholas Ramirez, former guest of the show, and his crew, and or get an F1 driver sighting, since a bunch of them live in Monaco, should check this camp out. That's it for this week. Feel free to reach out and let us know if there's anything you'd like for us to mention on the show.
Yes. Now for updates. Really exciting programming alert.
Very exciting.
I'm thrilled. We're both thrilled.
Stoked.
Debuting next week is a new show format called Countdown to Attila, where we will be chronicling our swim run journey to Sweden in September. So we're very stoked about this new monthly show, and we can't wait to share it with you.
Yeah.
So next month will be Countdown to Attila, 5 months out.
Yeah.
So the things we're thinking about and doing, mm-hmm. how everything's looking 5 months out.
Are we pooping our pants or not?
The Swim Run World Championship.
All that stuff. Yeah, and we're going to have – it's a really cool format because we're going to have multiple guests. We're going to be talking about our journey. We're going to be talking about asking people to help us. We're getting a bunch of pro tips. I have this master list going. We don't want to spoil it too much, but we have – great insight.
Super excited to share with you all.
Yeah, basically like a continuous knowledge bomb, which is what we're all about here.
Yes. Now I found the code to the vault.
You
and
did.
We cracked it.
Yes.
So let's jump over in the time machine all the way back to
hot
2018. It could be a hot tub time machine. All the way back to Casco Bay 2018 race report.
Yeah, this is really like a relic of our swim run past. So way back in 2018, we lined up the start of Odyssey Swim Run, formerly Swim Run USA's Casco Bay race, for our second swim run ever. Our first one was California Swim Run, which is a, you know, 4 or 5 months before that, just mm-hmm. to kind of get our feet
Andy
wet.
Andy Hewitt's joint.
Yep, yep. And we're not really sure why we decided to record a podcast for that race experience, but here we are. It was fun and a little bit weird to look back on that momentous event that was really the progenitor for this show, and we figured we would share with all of you. So enjoy the hot tub time machine back to 2018.
Yeah. I really enjoyed listening to it again and hearing there. And it is cool to hear the same themes that we talk about now kind of surfaced up, even on only our second time doing a swim run race.
I feel so much smarter now, though.
We had no idea what we were doing.
Yeah, I mean, this is clearly very just like, you know, just throw us into the wilderness and see what happens.
Yeah, and I think I remember, well, again, we started this show because we already have podcast experience. So we had the mic and stuff.
And by we mean
I had it. And then so I think we remember doing this, and I just said, let's just record like a race report, and I don't know why. Because, you know, I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, and then here it is. It's surfacing.
It's a
years
in
later,
hindsight, it's a
later.
Great idea. I mean, when we were prepping for some of the races last year, I was listening to the previous race reports, and it's really a snippet, and it's really just a look back in time as to what our thought process was, because we recorded it pretty soon after the race, like most of our race reports. So yeah, it's pretty cool. Again, it's interesting, also a little weird to kind of think what it was like way back then. We weren't even the Low Tide Boys.
No, we had another alias.
Yeah, the Thunder Goats.
Yeah.
We even had stickers and stuff. If anyone wants a Thunder Goat sticker, DM us. I got a whole bunch.
Well, without further ado, we got the hot tub all boobling at 102 degrees Fahrenheit. Let's hop in and take it back to 2018. Let's go. Team Thunder Goat Casco Bay Islands Swim Run USA 2018 race report.
Cole Classic.
The Cole. Man, we've. Okay, let me try that again.
Casco Bay Islands Swim Run
USA.
USA.
2018.
Long course. Long.
Oh, yeah.
Long. Couple extra O's in there.
Course. Cole Classic.
2018 Cole Classic.
Race report.
Yes.
Team Thunder Guts.
Yes.
My name's Chip.
And I'm Chris.
And we're the Thunder Guts. Which, when did we sign up for this race? That might be a good place
to
start.
We actually signed up, I mean, it was in December, I think. December or January.
And we're like, we got plenty of time to train. Like with anything that we signed up for.
Oh, yeah. I mean, there's a very deep base, you know.
Yeah, so I guess a little bit about our backgrounds as athlete, quote unquote athletes.
Yeah.
Chris and I both
little A.
Yeah. Lowercase A. And we both, as Chris has coined the term, we were from the former Fatties Club.
Yes.
And then through diet and exercise have, you know, achieved the dad bod that we have now.
Yep.
But I would say recovering triathletes, or I don't know if that's the right word.
It's funny that you say it like that, because, I mean, I've been describing this race to people in a way like, you know, you have to be really comfortable with ambiguity and sort of relying on yourself. Yeah. And I think if you're not in your sort of post-triathlon
phase
or zen or, you know, mental state or something, I think it's like, you know, you just can't handle the level of sloppiness if you're full on in Ironman mode, or, you know, 70.3 mode, because you need things to be exact. You need things to be exactly
to the
where
T
they are.
And totally.
And this was definitely not that. So I think if you're still super type A triathlete, like,
you're going to have a hard time.
Might have a hard time. Or this might be super therapeutic for you. It might be exactly what you need to get your fucking, you know.
Yeah, so.
Get your, like, carbon fiber C-post out of your ass.
It's more aero, though.
It is.
And it's lighter.
Yeah.
So we have been doing endurance running triathlons for,
yeah,
I mean, I think I ran my first marathon in 2013, maybe.
Yeah.
And Chris somewhere around there too. We didn't know each other at that point.
We didn't know each other when we were both fatties.
Yeah.
I was super athletic in high school and college, and then in law school, I gained basically like 60 pounds living in New York City.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, was in like a loveless marriage. And then when that was sort of dying off, mm-hmm. I started like training and trying to get into it. And like,
you spend your energy elsewhere.
Yeah. I started like dropping like hella weight. And, you know, I was still sexy back then, but, you know,
I've seen the photos. I'll confirm.
But yeah, so I think I did my first marathon. I think it was 2013 too. And then got into triathlon pretty soon after that.
Yeah, it was kind of a really slippery slope.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, okay, I did the SF marathon was my first one. And then I'm like, oh, yep, okay, and
too.
Then let me get a better training plan online. Oh, okay. Well, they recommend a day or two of cycling for cross training. Okay, let me get a bike. Mm-hmm, and I'm like, and then you know, one or two friends that I had were like, well, why don't you just do a triathlon? All you just need to do is swim.
Right. No big deal.
Yeah. And then here we are. So I would say Chris and I's strength, and primarily in the last, since our daughters were born, mine's almost going to be 3. Chris's is 2.5, pretty much.
Yeah.
We've been primarily focused on more ultra running and just running in general, just based on the fact that there's limited hours in the day to do everything. And biking and takes a lot of that time up. So we've been primarily focused on, we have done a couple 50Ks this year. We've done a couple half Marys, some other stuff. I have a 50 miler coming up. Chris had a 50 miler last year.
Yeah. We did a 10K.
That was a couple turkey trots here and there.
Turkey trots.
So I feel we both were fairly confident about the run portion of this swim run event.
I would say, you know, we're pretty confident with just the format. The idea of just swimming and running, it wasn't like, oh my God, that's the craziest thing we ever, you know, come up with. I think we've come up with crazier ideas on our own. I think it was more like, you know, sort of the extent of it that was the interesting challenge, not the fact that it was just, oh, swim running. It's just like, it was more like, hey, more new gear to buy.
Yeah, which I get so excited about, a new wetsuit or new shoes or whatever. But and then swimming I would never ever say had been my strong point. I'm like adult onset swimmer, you know, for my triathlon. But I put a lot of work in, a lot of yards in the pool, and I got to be probably, I would say maybe middle of the pack at best for swimming.
I'd say front middle.
Okay, well, thank you. But middle of the pack for swimming. And then that was something that definitely, once the triathlon stuff stopped, it was like, oh, I'm going to go to the pool 2 or 3 days a week. Like, for both of us, that really fell off.
Yeah.
So that was something that we knew we had to really get back.
Right. Yeah, for sure. And I think, should we talk about the warm-up swim run we did?
So swim run as a sport is relatively new. It's, I guess we could bring up Wikipedia here. It was in Swedish, it means island to island, which apparently the founders made it up on the back of a napkin, like as a bet. It's a multi-sport event. The first one was in 2006, apparently. This is straight off swim run. Some very unique characteristics about the sport in general is that there are mixed gender teams, men's teams, and women's team. You run in your wetsuit and swim in your shoes.
Well, I would almost take a step back. I mean, the fact that it's a team, I think that's a very different thing.
Yeah, that's a good point, too. Right, so this is with the teammate that you have, a 3-meter tether rope that you're tied to on the swims, and if you want on the run, you can. So it's very much a team sport, and it just sort of worked out that we are pretty much similarly abled in both events. So I thought it worked out pretty well. And Chris had actually signed up for the race.
Yeah, I signed up for the race the first year they had it in Maine, and because of injury, I wasn't able to show up. But yeah, I mean, it was on my radar the second it came to the U.S. I was familiar with the race in Sweden already, and as someone who's sort of into sort of doing like random feats of endurance.
Yeah, totally.
I think I remember telling you about it pretty early on, too. It's like, hey, check this out.
Yeah, like, you know, the Golden Gate Tri Club that we're all in, couple of the guys have a chat that we're in, and as soon as someone finds some dumb race or some crazy shit, we'll all just throw it in. They're like, who's with us?
Yeah.
So it probably came along like that. But I would definitely say I've talked to some very heavy triathletes, and they've never heard of this type of sport before, and just like trying to explain it to them, they're like, minds are being blown. So I would say it's definitely not mainstream. The most mainstream it got was Rich Roll, of the Ritual podcast, you know, vegan endurance athlete, was voted like top fittest man under 40 or so, or something 40 like anyway, by Men's Health or whatever. He did the Oulu, however you say it, in Sweden, their world champion show, their Kona race, which is about 48 miles, which is 10 Ks of swimming and like 42 miles of running over all these islands in Sweden. And that got a write up in the New York Times when he completed that. So that I would say that's like the most mainstream thing that has happened thus far to swim run.
And I should note, they weren't even competitive.
No, they were like middle of the pack.
Yeah.
And his partner, Chris Hoth.
Former professional triathlete.
Yeah. Former professional. And he wins his age group at Kona.
Yeah.
I think he was an Olympic trials or like borderline Olympic caliber swimmer. I'm not totally sure of his credentials. Rich Roll swam in college. Like, I would dream to have the swim fitness and the swimming abilities that they have. And they were like just middle of the pack here.
Yeah.
Which is pretty wild.
I dream to have their body fat content.
Sure.
To be honest.
So we knew we had the run fitness, but the sport and the running and swimming in your shoes and running with the pull buoy strapped to your leg and tied together and swimming with paddles like seems so foreign to us. We definitely knew we needed to practice this. So we found what was the first swim run event in the United States, Swim Run California, which is great because we're here based out of the Bay Area up in Novato, California in Marin County. And it was down in San Diego. And that was in March.
And this is another example where, you know, I think Chipper and I are both in our post-triathlon zen state. For the two of us to race, I think it was like $100.
Yeah, we're like, sweet.
We're like, yeah, we'll do that. $100 for two people, damn.
Yeah, that was, I was happy with that for sure.
Yeah, so we basically just flew down for the day.
That was a pretty fucking crazy.
Yeah, drove down, had some pretty good food for lunch.
We
started up, you know, basically a race in late afternoon.
Yeah, it was after a
regatta. Oh yes,
collegiate regatta challenge or something.
Yes, which was rigged, I think. Still think.
Oh right, the inside lane was really.
Yeah, if you're in like lane one, you pretty much won every time. Yeah. Actually, not even pretty much. Like
every time,
lane one was winning. Like no one would take bets. It was so obvious.
So the whole thing was just so foreign to us that this event that we went to in San Diego, it started at 4 p.m. in the afternoon. We flew down to LAX.
Well, and,
we
drove. And if this was emblematic of anything, it was supposed to start at 2. But
then
started at 4.
We're kind of sitting around like, okay, we don't know what to do. And there's people that...
It's like, what do you mean it's not starting on time? This is weird.
Yeah. Oh, right, yeah. This is kind of like our first... thing, very grassroots-esque. So we did that, and that was a total of like 14K or something.
Yeah, it was pretty short. I think it was not even like a mile and a half of swimming and like 6 miles of running, something like that. Maybe a little bit more running.
I'm trying to look it up. Strava.
But that was fun, and I think... You know, so it was fine. Like, we know how to swim. We know how to run. We work out together all the time. So doing it together wasn't really an issue. I think it was, like, getting used to the situation. But I think we did a good job. I think we came in top 14th.
And I think our goals coming out of that was, like, okay, we want to have a decent showing at this swim run event in Maine, the Casco Bay Islands that we're talking about. So what can we learn? Because it was in March and this event was just, you know, a week ago, actually, in August 12th. So we had many months to kind of train.
Or not train.
Or train or, you know, pretend that we're going to train and then, you know, get going. So the California swim run event, I thought was a lot of fun.
Yeah, well, that was the biggest takeaway is crossing the finish line. I think we were both like, oh, man, that was actually a blast.
Yeah.
Especially for us because we train together all the time. I think the fact that we could actually do something and compete together, it's something very different from, I mean, we'll do races where we'll just like sandbag them and run them together and stuff like that. Like, you know, just buddy races.
But, yeah.
But in a triathlon or, you know, it's pretty hard to do because we're in different age groups.
And
that's like a time trial always, right?
Yeah, so, yeah. I thought that part is really interesting of the sport because in this past 2 years when we've been focusing on running, we've been very much like, oh, we'll just do the race together and finish together, but it's more camaraderie, Yeah. We're training together. You know, I'm going to, for last year, it was like Chris is doing the North Face 50. I'm going to be pacing him for part of it. So we better get used to it, sort of thing. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, this event that, yes, we're both finishing together, but it's like we're the same team is a really cool sort of concept.
Yeah.
So what were, if you remember, what was our key takeaways from the California Swim Run event besides swim more?
Yeah, I think it was definitely like practice the transitions mm-hmm. and swim more in the suits because the suits were different than triathlon wetsuits. They were sort of these shorty, 1980s like Billabong, like Living Color looking things.
Front zip, sleeve, shorts.
Yeah.
They have like a little mini kangaroo pouch in the back.
They come with a whistle because that's part of the international swim run rules.
Yeah.
And a compass.
Which mine was broken. I didn't even know until I got home.
Yeah. Well, you want to know what to do with it anyway.
Whoa. North?
It's like, which way's north?
Well, no, we wouldn't want to go north. That'd be Canada.
Yeah, we didn't want to. Yeah, that would have been bad. Yeah. Actually, that would have been pretty epic. Where'd you guys end up? Nova Scotia?
Yeah. Oh, Arctic Circle. Yeah. Swimming together, and at the last minute for the San Diego one, we ditched the tether.
The tether was optional, and we hadn't trained with it.
We're like, oh, this is so fucking stupid. What are we going to do?
Yeah, and there was only a couple people that used the tether, and everyone was looking at them like, oh, you guys are using the tether? Oh, you guys are like the veterans.
I would say we were one of the, you know, maybe a quarter of the people even had swim run specific wetsuits.
Yeah.
And we were kind of one of the only people that sort of had the shoes and had everything together. Other people were, there was teams that were just wearing like swimming trunks and their running shoes.
Honestly, we do that one next year. That's what I'm going to do. I think it was a little bit overkill with all the gear for that one.
But we needed to, it was good. So, okay, let's, you know, I guess we are sort of dragging on here. Let's go into the we talked about training. We did a couple specific swim run type trainings in aquatic park in San Francisco.
Yeah.
We would do a buoy line. We would get out and we would run a mile and then we'd get back in the water and we would do that 4 or 5 times.
Yeah.
And that would be like a swim run workout for us.
Right. And I think socially that was an interesting thing because, I mean, we pretty much look like a couple of goofballs like running in our wetsuits and stuff like that. And we'd see people that we know and they'd be like, hey,
what are you guys doing?
What's up, guys?
Yeah.
Even complete strangers are like, what's up with these wetsuits?
So
it was interesting. Even like the seals in Aquatic Park, I think, were curious what we were doing. They were poking their head up and stuff.
Spooked me once.
Yeah. But I mean, so we did some specific workouts, got used to the tether, which it did take some getting used to, learning how to draft.
That was something.
It wasn't something that came like... We just try to do it.
I don't know if we want to go into what we would have changed about our training right now or what we liked about the training. I think the drafting piece and swimming with the tether was the biggest, I don't want to say advantage, but that was the biggest thing to come out of that because we would switch off. I didn't realize how much energy savings there is if you're on the back end of that.
Especially if you're right on someone's feet. I mean, not to toot any horns or anything, but I feel like in triathlon swims I was usually passing people and wasn't really even thinking about getting on someone's feet and just like riding it the whole way. But
yeah.
I think if I give up, you know, when I do my next triathlon, whenever that is, if there's someone who I think I can hang with, I mean, it's a huge advantage. I mean, I feel
just have them do all the work for you pretty much.
Yeah, exactly.
It's very much, I would relate it a lot to cycling. Like it felt a lot like that. Yeah. And then, you know, in the pace line, when you get out and put your nose in the wind, you're like, oh shit, okay, this is pretty tough. And then, you know, if when you were behind, you're just kind of spinning out a little bit or you're just sitting up and like, okay, can Chris push it a little bit harder? Cause I'm kind of getting bored back here. But, so the venue in Portland, Maine, have you ever been to Portland or Maine?
I had been to Portland and or Maine.
Okay.
Yeah, because I spent formative years in Boston. Okay. So,
I had not been to Portland, Maine. We flew into Boston, which I have not been to Boston either. So we sort of agreed before Chris is going to show me the ropes after the race. We kind of would take Monday. We flew out Thursday night. We took a red eye.
And we're just like, let's just blast up there. It was about a 2-hour drive. We stopped in New Hampshire just to hang out in another state for a bit.
Yeah.
So I hit 3 states that I had not been in one day.
Beautiful Portsmouth.
In like an hour. Oh, is that Portsmouth?
Yeah.
Okay. And we stayed, Maine was a little muggy, where Portland was.
Oh, the first day? Yeah. Oh my goodness. It was like 85 and humidity was like 110% or something. Yeah.
And we had, our flights left at, let's just say like 9 p.m. or 9:30. And we got to Boston at 6:30 local time, which was actually like 3:30 California time. And we had agreed that we were going to force the time zone on ourselves. So we were just going to stay up until what we ended up staying up until at least 9 or something. Right.
Yeah.
It was a struggle though. We had to just get out and start walking around because we were going to fall asleep at the house.
Did do some of that, but it was good. I mean, honestly, I feel like I did it too well because when we came back, I was pretty jet lagged, which is kind of lame, but I was going to sleep pretty early.
Yeah.
Got back.
Oh, right. Yeah. Cause you, which is good. I mean, everyone can like, sleep.
Pretty much going to sleep when my daughter goes to sleep.
I thought the food was great. The coffee was great. Obviously the donuts,
I don't know if that's obvious, but yeah, there's some good donut shops up there. We hit them.
Yeah. I would say this, I mean, this sort of speaks about to the contrast of swim run compared to triathlon, because I guess that's the only comparison that we could really make. But, you know, if we were going for a travel race, you know, we've done St. George, for example, we would go there. My eating would be so clean. I wouldn't even look at a donut. We would be eating, you know, getting very healthy. There would be no drinking or anything before. And this was very much more casual. You know, I don't know if it's because, I mean, we definitely cared about it. I don't think the amount that we cared about was any different, but it was just, we sort of adjusted our lenses a little bit, I felt like.
Sure. Yeah. And I think for this event in particular, you know, we weren't really sure what to expect. And I think, you know, we'll talk about it at the end, but, you know, the question I've gotten the most since doing this is how does this compare to Ironman? It's just, you know, anyway,
it's different.
Leave that for later. Yeah. It's different for sure. And I think that, you know, because it was so unexpected, I think we went into it with a pretty decent attitude, not unlike a lot of our racing this year where, you know, we did a 50K, way too cool 50K. We did it like, you know, as a buddy race and just sort of, you know, telling stories the whole time.
Yeah.
Same thing, you know, so pretty much all year we've been kind of like not being uber competitive about going in there and like setting some
very serious
goals.
About it, but not, we're not trying to, I mean, at least for myself, I guess we've sort of struggled from being a, you know, married triathlete to being now a dad triathlete and, you know, having your time constricted with another added piece to your life. And I guess I speak for myself. I've struggled with that for a couple of years, but I feel like I'm getting in a good place. So part of that being in a better place is sort of taking a different lens on everything. But this is turning into therapy.
So how does that
make you
feel?
Should we get to the race?
Yeah. You know, this mandatory pre-race meeting, which is kind of cool where, you know, everybody's
gear
in
check
the room,
too.
Gear check. So you get to see pretty much every single person that's going to be racing for them, you know, assuming. So that was pretty cool and to see people from all over the place, California. I think the states that are represented.
The third highest represented
third
state.
Highest, yeah. Which is pretty fun.
Yeah. And, to touch on the venue, Portland, I found it very walkable. We walked everywhere. We had a rental car, but we sat at park for 2 days. But so we walked to the pre-race event and we sort of could tell right away, like, oh, we looked in our gear bag, like, oh, we were supposed to get these flasks, and they had been good about sending emails out maybe once a month, kind of really the very basics, like, hey, if you need a wetsuit, we have a Blue 70, here's our discount, here's the nutrition. One thing that was sort of missing, and as a triathlete I was trying to like, okay, or, you know, recovering triathlete trying to, you know, hedge, like, what's the distances for run number 3? It's across this island, I can see that, and they provide a really cool, well-designed map, and we'll link it up on thundergoats.com. And it's like, but how long is that? And we didn't know any of those distances until, what was it, like 2 weeks before maybe?
Yeah, and even then, I mean, we'll talk about it later, but the distances were way off.
Yeah, For the swim part.
Yeah, the distances seem pretty far off. Yeah, and I think, you know, and the race director, I don't know if this is like a main thing or whatever, but they didn't really seem to care. I think they were like, yeah, we weren't answering emails from people asking us for GPS coordinates. But I think if you're asking for GPS coordinates.
Right, like, that's a little bit nerdier than.
You need to pull that carbon fiber seat post out of your ass. But, you know, but yeah, some sort of, you know, because I think. I wouldn't even say this is just a triathlete thing. I think this is an athlete thing. If you're training for something specific and you're planning on carrying your own nutrition, which you had to for this course, like
it was a cupless race.
Cupless race. Yeah. So you had to carry your own stuff and, you know, the aid stations were pretty sparse. You know, it's helpful to know what's coming up so you can, especially, I mean, even if you're trying to be super competitive, that's even more important because you're really figuring out how you're going to manage your effort, you know, where you're going to go for it, where you're not.
Totally. So race morning, we woke up at the ass crack of dawn at 3. Yeah. I think I was probably up at 3.
Yeah, I managed to sleep, but you said you
didn't. I was tossing and turning all night. I couldn't. I pounded two of my coffees that we got at Whole Foods, had some overnight picky oats. Not a sponsor of this one-off podcast, but we'll send it to Jesse, see if we can get a sticker.
Yeah. you already have a sticker on your laptop.
Oh, yeah. Another sticker? What did you had a couple hard-boiled eggs that we got, or?
Yeah, I had some, I think.
Was it your, said. Say, what would it be your standard sort of endurance event, you know, multi-hour event?
Yeah,
preparation
for long-term stuff like that. It's just, you know, I mean, you have to. There isn't enough nutrition you can take on board in the morning. I think you want to put something in your stomach.
But, yeah, and we knew we were guessing between 4 and 5 hours. Is kind of what we told our wives based on the event, 18 plus miles, heavy on the plus.
Yeah,
with 4+ miles of swimming and 14 of running.
Plus miles of running.
Yeah. So we were kind of basing off like
training,
what we had done, you know, what we know we're capable of.
And for the record, where the race had been 18 miles, we were right on pace.
We were right there. and an interesting thing about swim run, you know, it's not like on the bike ride you have, you know, I have my little bento box on my bike that I can have all my favorite, you know, okay, I've tested out 10 different types of chews and types of bars. I know exactly what works with my stomach and what doesn't. Like, for the swim run, you can't bring, like, you couldn't really bring much with you because it's going to get wet. You know, we had to bring gels. We brought a couple gels and some of the untapped maple syrups just because we were in Vermont and it sounded like a...
Delicious.
It was pretty good.
We're in New England. I don't think we hit Vermont.
Oh, yeah. So we were on the ferry at 4:20. Or we left the house at 4:20 on the ferry at 4:40.
Yeah, 4:45. It was like a half-hour ferry ride, which was a lot of fun. I think there was a lot of people. There's a lot of people there on the boat who had done the race before.
Yeah,
you know, there's a couple professional triathletes from the Bay Area, one of which I know pretty well. We've ridden together a lot. They ended up coming in second because they're awesome.
Yeah,
Kelly and Sarah. I forget what the name of their team was, but it was pretty funny. And it was their first time as well. So it was really interesting hearing from them, you know, on the boat. Like, they were super nervous.
Yeah, that was
all that stuff.
Good.
And I was like, well, okay, well, I guess that's cool considering you've like won triathlons and stuff.
Yeah, Ironman champions. And here they are at this race, like having the same pre-race nerves that we did. And so we got to the island, you know, we got dressed on the boat, had our dry bag, our nested Russian doll dry bag that we were like, okay, if this thing falls in the ocean, it will, at least our phones will not get fucked up. And we were on the island. Race was slotted to start at 6. I would say the horn went off at 6:02 or 6:03 or something.
A couple minutes late, yeah, but...
Oh, there's people on the boat trying to get off.
They were going to start the race and there's still people on the boat.
And the weather had definitely cooled down. Overcast.
Oh my God. I mean, that was
like sprinkling.
That was the greatest because we showed up on that Friday. It was so hot and muggy.
I think
we were both thinking we were going to be melting in those wetsuits.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a specific wetsuit designed for running and swimming and stuff, but it's still a wetsuit. It gets pretty toasty.
And it's not easy to take it to roll it down.
Yeah.
You know, I guess if there was a 6 mile run or something, maybe we would consider something like that. But the longest run was like 3.25 miles. So, and heat management was something in our training that we had kind of worked on, or I had noticed like, okay, you know, you can kind of feel your temperature like going up,
it's
you
like
know.
A it's like a cartoon thermometer. Yeah.
Exactly, like in the Looney Tunes thing, like, you know, and then it comes out your ears and stuff. But so heat management for myself was kind of like a big part of my race strategy. So Lars, the race director, sent us out. We had a moment of silence for Jeff Cole, who was the race director. He passed away earlier this year. So this is why it was called the Cole Classic. We had a moment of silence for him. And then we had a, I should bring my paddles in. We could just go off that.
Yeah, it was a 2 mile run.
It was a pretty much
it was
a
1.9. Yeah, 1.9 mile run to start, and it was cool.
Miles,
so
yeah.
If you haven't been to Maine, if you haven't been to the Northeast, you know these islands, basically where old waspy rich people live. So some of these islands were privately owned. The race directors got permission for us to run across, which is pretty interesting.
Yeah, I thought that was cool.
Everybody on the islands were super nice. It kind of reminded me a little bit of, you know, the movie Get Out, where like everybody in the neighborhood was being super nice to the black guy, who then they were going to like take his mind to put it on the other person.
Wow.
Anyway, if you haven't seen that movie, you should watch it. But yeah, it's like everybody was being sort of creepily nice, you know, as they're driving by in their personal golf carts and stuff.
But they were all nice. They all, I mean, for being 6 something in the morning and them getting out and like waving hi to us was like pretty cool.
No, it was much appreciated. I made sure I, you know, thanked anybody who said anything.
That was one thing they touched on the pre-race meeting. Like a lot of the stuff is, we're very almost blessed to get it. You know, these, some lobster family that's 3 generations owns this one island and they're letting us run through their forest and shit. Like, you know, it's pretty crazy stuff. And then, so a really cool part about, to jump back to the race so we can stay on somewhat of a track here, which is mostly my fault. They were telling us, was it on the ferry or was it in the pre-race meeting, but there you can jump off the dock. It's like a 10 foot jump.
Oh, no, dude. No, it was like 15 feet.
Oh, I've been telling people it's 8.
You got to bump that up.
Oh yeah,
that's like a root. No, it was
okay.
It was about.
In my mind, I had 8, 10 feet. I'm like, okay, you know, that's not
that's
too
like
much
dunking
of a
basketball. Yeah. It was way more than that.
Good point.
So I guess they did a training run on the course. They did a training thing on the course, and then to finish it off, they thought it'd be funny to jump off the pier. So for the race, they were like, oh, we're going to turn this into our thing.
Yeah.
And you can choose to jump off the pier or go down the little boat ramp and just jump in like a pussy. It was in the pre-race meeting, and I distinctly remember turning to you the second
like
he said
we're
it.
Doing
I'm
the
like,
dock thing, right?
Oh, we're jumping off the dock.
Like, yeah, of course.
It's like, in case there was any doubt, that's happening.
So we got up, and we're running down there, and Chris was full of piss and vinegar, so he kind of goes off first. And I was the one wearing the tether and sort of like quarterbacking ins and outs, the waters and the transitions. So like, okay, I have this 10-foot rope. I have to somehow wrap around and get unwrapped because you can't be tethered when you're jumping off. So Chris is like run up ahead. I'm like trying to get it undone because my plan is to have it just dangling and jump off.
So in my defense, I was hot as balls by that point. I was already like super sweaty. I'm like,
I wasn't trying to attack.
I was like, I need to cool off. I need to cool off my stuff. And I thought you were right behind me.
I know. Well, I thought we sort of were walking at one point, like once we approached the dock, and then you just like started going. I'm like, oh shit. And I'm like, hold on. I'm like yelling at you, but you're in the water. So I jumped in, and I remember distinctly thinking like, okay, this is pretty far. Like that you can have one or two thoughts go through your mind, and then you hit the water. And probably right when I hit the water and, you know, my goggles were on, I heard someone yell, has anyone seen goggles? Has anyone seen goggles? I'm like, oh, man, poor bastard.
Yeah, I mean, so I was in the water maybe like 20 seconds
yeah, it was like
more
10
than
seconds.
You.
Yeah, 15.
And I saw 3 people jump in after me, and three teams jump in.
Oh.
And about four goggles go flying. So I think people weren't even thinking about like putting your hand over your face.
Because you're on a dock, you have shoes on, then you have a pool buoy between your legs, you're wearing hand paddles.
Yeah.
And a wetsuit, and you have this rope on you, and you're like, it was the most oddest thing.
And just in case you think that you feel like a Navy SEAL doing all this stuff, no you feel like a freaking dumbass.
I feel like a, yeah. Like you feel a like Inspector Gadget.
You gotta make
something.
Sure you have your floaties on right before you do anything.
Yeah, and that so I would say this swim run event is a swim heavy version.
Well, and it ended up being pretty swim heavy.
But so, in comparison to others, I would for a long course one, it seemed a little.
Yeah, so just to put in a little bit of context, we found this out afterwards. So instead of 4-ish miles of swimming, ended up being 6-ish miles of swimming, which if you're a swimmer, we basically did 10,000 yards, which, you know, for a pool set, you're pretty badass if you're doing that. The championship in Sweden, while that race is
their
super,
Kona Ironman,
yeah, their
super
Kona,
long
the
course.
Otillo, while that one is 44 miles, that one only has 6 miles of swimming, and the rest is running. So
that's what I thought was the most interesting part about that. I don't know if I even remember the individual legs enough to like comment on them. I will maybe let's just talk about we liked.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of do. I think, if anything, you know, what
or
was
a couple legs that we found really interesting.
What was interesting for me about just like our mental state. So, you know, Chipper and I train a lot together. And at this point, you know, our sense of humor is pretty dialed in. And we were having a lot of fun with it. I think as we were leading up to what we thought was the biggest swim, this like 1.2 mile.
Yeah, pretty much a mile.
Swim. Like, through the Portland Sound or something, between a couple of the islands.
Yeah. With algae and all this shit.
Yeah, kelp and stuff. And I think leading up to that, I think, you know, our spirits were pretty light and we're just kind of doing our normal banter. And I think as we're getting to that swim, it started getting a little bit more serious and sort of less chatty and more like, all right, let's go.
Focus, okay. More focused.
It's like out of the water. All right, let's go. You're all set. Okay, let's move. You know, it's been an hour. We take a nutrition, sort of like taking care of each other that way.
Sort of falling back into what, you know, just, I don't want to say killer instinct, but like you're in the heat of it, right? You're back in battle.
Yeah. And it definitely got real. I think, you know, after the big swim, we were like, all right, cool. Like, you know, that was a big hurdle. Now we had a big run, and then it's like little stuff for the rest of the way.
Yeah, we kept calling it the meat and potatoes part because it was the over the mile swim and then a 3.5 mile run through, as they called it. They say Daniel Booning or Davy Crockett-ing. It's one
I
of
think
those
it was
frontiermen.
I think it was
Davy Crockett.
Was it? I don't know. It was either Daniel Booning it or Davy Crockett-ing it.
Maybe it wasn't. So it must have been Daniel Booning.
I think it was Daniel Booning because I remember making a bad joke about it. Booning.
Yeah. Which was pretty much 3 miles, or the portion that was Daniel Booning it was like bushwhacking.
Pretty single track. Like, and the single track was over a marsh that had like old like 2x4s on it. Seriously. It was like, it's like you're running on planks and you're surrounded by like, you know, tall grass and stuff.
And then you would go into this area of woods.
And it was like, it wasn't just woods. It was like scary woods.
Yeah,
it was
heavily.
It was like Blair Witch Project-y, like lots of, you know, ferns and
moss,
fallen.
Redwood.
Yeah. Like a lot of particulate on the ground. It was very.
A lot of moisture. Very moist.
Very moist.
And we got lost with a couple other teams.
Yeah, well, it was only because like these folks just like.
I think
took
we kind of got swept up with them, right?
Yeah, we kind of got swept up. I was running, you know, very tenderly because I didn't have my glasses, so I was trying not to break my face.
It took me half the race to realize we both wear glasses, but I can wear contacts, and that's what I do.
I can't touch my eyeballs.
We're going to overcome that because next, you need to wear contacts. And then so Chris would be leading swims out, and then in my head, I'm swimming behind him. I'm like, wait, this motherfucker can't even see the other side where he's supposed to be going. What is he doing? And then in the runs, I think it was about halfway through that run, I remember you saying, oh yeah, I don't have my glasses. I'm like, okay, I should be going in front so you can keep a little bit better contact.
Yeah, I mean, you know. Yeah, well, you know, I've been racing triathlon for a long time, not being able to see super well.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, my trick is sort of figure out the ultimate. You know, and this is for any advice for anyone who also can't touch their eyeballs and are doing, like, open water swimming. You just sight the things you can see. So once you have, like, a general, you know, sort of destination in mind, you just pick a point that's closer.
Yeah. So the Davy Crockett-ing
bit, which was fun. I mean, it was like a single track, super unique, through the woods. I mean, we could have gotten murdered any time, but we didn't. So that's good.
And you're running like right on this island road. And I remember talking, well, you know, trying to do this, like, hey, look around, like, look how cool this is. And we're talking like, does the mail deliver to these weird islands? Can you get an Amazon package, or do you have to go to Portland to pick it up? Like, I remember these kind of funny conversations that we were having. Mm-hmm.
I think we agreed that it's their butlers to go get them.
someone to go fetch mail for them. And I would say after that run, I was thinking, okay, now we're going to, I don't want to say coast it in, but it's going to be fun the way in. We can really enjoy it.
Sure.
And that did not ring true.
No. So on my Garmin, because I didn't want to have to deal. So both our Garmins, the Fenix 5s have the ability, have a swim and workout setting built in. So you just have to hit the lap button and it's like your triathlon race setting. It just goes back and forth between swim and run until you hit stop. I just found that really annoying. And I sort of, knowing myself, I knew that I'd forget to hit the lap and then be like, you know, flogging myself for not having like the accurate Strava,
which is a bit of triathlete I can't quite get away from.
I mean, I'm not claiming to have been totally zen in my post triathlete state. I was trying to find it. So I just kept mine on run, so I would have essentially like a total distance. So,
and then I would do the swim run event. Yeah. So I now, you know, when my Strava uploaded, it's like you have 24 new activities and everything's called lunch run and afternoon swim.
Yeah. And if you're listening, Strava, please have a multi-sport setting on your freaking app.
Yeah, that would be helpful. So after that, there's a couple things we were looking for. There was this Vail Island rock scrambling, essentially.
Yeah.
It was a half mile run. And I remember looking at the map and seeing the distance like, oh, half mile. Oh, well, you know, let's just say, let's be crazy, 7 minutes. Like, you know, we take our time. And they're like, oh, no, you're bouldering a half mile around rock.
And it was. It really was. I mean, in the pre-race meeting, they made a point of saying it was, that's when you have to, quote, engage in teamwork.
Yeah.
And then we found out you just have to, you know, be willing to hold your partner's hand while they jump off a rock so they don't slip and die. So, you know, teamwork.
And they said, oh, you know, the race won't be won, but it certainly could be lost on this.
Oh, line. Yeah. Yeah, when you break your freaking head.
And this also was that was where I noticed we really started running into a lot of the short course people
that had started off. With the short course people. And around that time is when I started looking down at my watch and being like, dude, we're doing great. We're like right on pace. And,
yeah.
You know, everything's going well. We're going to finish in under five hours.
I had no, if you wouldn't have never told me that, I would have had no contextual info about how long we had been out there. I was just going, because the way that you're sort of going through the race is like, okay, we just did that. What's next? And you're just like, boom. It's like, what's the very next thing right in front of you?
Right.
It's not. And I remember looking at one point like, hey, I'm almost done with my first paddle and there's only a couple things and then the finish on the last one. Like, that's cool. Like, okay, we're 2/3 of the way through the race.
Right.
But I never, like when you said, hey, have you eaten? It's been an hour. I like didn't have that in my head.
Yeah, no, you were very in sort of like A to B and just keep doing that. Like, just get from A to B, which is good. I mean, it's probably good to have both, because I look down at my watch and I was like, oh, that's cool. We're like at 16 and a half miles total distance.
Oh, okay.
And, you know, I was like,
because I remember telling you, and I said, we only have 10Ks of just running left.
Yeah.
And you're like, what? You're like, we're at, you know, 4 hours, or we're at 16 miles or something. Or we had already been.
Yeah, and it's, you know, did we swim in a total straight line every single time? No, but we were sighting pretty well. I don't think we were, you know, we weren't zigzagging too much in the water.
Yeah.
You can check our Strava to prove it or whatever. But
a couple of them are pretty brutal, but you know, not to the tune of 2 miles.
Well, honestly, you know, the interesting thing about that is if you're an open water swimmer, you know, one of the things you need to navigate is currents.
Yeah.
And, you know, I swim in San Francisco Bay all the time, and I understand what those currents are, and I don't think we did anything to prepare to understand the currents that were going on, and there was, like, high tide was coming in.
They kept telling us that. I'm like, sir, I don't know what the fuck you're talking about. I don't know what...
Yeah.
Just where do we need to go, you know, kind of thing.
Yeah, exactly. So I think, you know, there was some interesting... In a good way, I think complexities in those swims because, you know, the currents are shifting all around us, temperatures are changing, smells are changing.
Yeah.
And it was a very dynamic, you know, it was like a trail swim. If you think
that's
about
a good
like
way
a,
to put it,
you know, trail run where you gotta like watch, you know, kill, you know, do a Superman, stub your toe, trip, whatever. Kind of have to keep your wits about you. It was pretty similar in that respect. And I think we probably could have swam straighter if we would have spent some time studying those currents. And I think if...
Practice it a little bit more.
Yeah. If you're not a super strong swimmer, that's super helpful. If you're a strong swimmer, I think it can only help you as well.
And so I would say we were feeling good on the runs. And the swims, I remember that one specific island that we were at and where we sort of had this... I don't want to call it a come to Jesus, but it was like a realization of like... this course is really much longer than we anticipated.
Yeah, I know exactly when that happened. So this was after the little stone boulder.
That was before that, I thought.
No, because that was a short swim to get to that one.
Yeah.
And then from that one, we thought it was like a relatively short swim to get on shore.
Yeah.
And you were in front swimming, and I remember stopping you a couple times to be where are we going? Because I looked to the left and I saw like, and again, I couldn't see.
Yeah.
I couldn't see the shore. I mean, I saw people, but I didn't know who it was. But I did see people like getting out of the water, like to our left as we were swimming. I guess we were swimming like northeast at that point. And you kept saying, it's like, yeah, there's the flag over there. And
I remember him saying
the
American flag.
I'm like, this swim seems like super long.
What island was that? Let's see.
So, that was going to Long Island.
Long Island, that's right. Which was the finishing island?
No, the finishing island was the Prince something island.
Okay.
The one where the ferry dropped us off.
So you remember that being the specific of...
Well, that's where I was like, I mean, I already was like, okay, this short is super long. And I remember asking you to look at your paddles. I was like, well, how much do we have left? Because I think we have a lot. And you're like, we're not even on the second paddle. I mean, most of the legs.
Two thirds of the race were on the first paddle.
Yeah, but it's like, we're not even at the second paddle yet. I'm like, okay, well, this is super long. And that's unfortunate because I already took my last gel thinking that we only had, you know, another hour of activity.
Right, totally. And around this time, too, we had sort of, I remember the first aid station and Chris and I were both on the same page. Like, okay, we had these little, think of them as like a rubber or a little like neoprene Dixie cup.
Yeah.
And we stuffed it up the leg of our wetsuit and we would come up and we'd pound two or three of those and then go. And I tried the first available, like, I don't remember what the on-course thing was, so I'm not going to shit on them, but it was dog shit. And I told Chris, I'm like, don't drink that. It tastes like salt water, what we were just drinking in. And there were supposed to be these bars that we had and we had sampled them the day before. I'm like, okay, I can totally eat these, like kind of date-based, sort of picky bar-esque. Not as good in my opinion, but
no.
Red Bar, R-E-D-D.
Yeah, imitators. But they were good, different flavors.
And I'm like, I could totally make this work, grab one of these like mint chocolate chip. I was kind of looking forward to it. But we sort of realized it had been 5 or 6 island or transitions. And we're like, where are these bars? And where's like this food that we're getting?
Where's any nutrition? I mean, one aid station had like a half-eaten bag of jelly beans that I think like some lady brought down.
Yeah,
which were delicious.
Bad. Yeah, I had one.
but you almost didn't want to have a handful because there's like you know hundreds of people behind you. It's like these jelly beans gotta last, you know.
And
people at the end are the ones gonna need them.
They're gonna need them. And a couple aid stations had. Peanut butter and jelly sandwiches, which I had like a half.
I think
someone's
ladies.
Nana. Yeah. Okay, so according to the swim run breakdown, I'm on the thing. There should have been 4 bar
options.
No, 4 bar eight stations.
Okay.
Out of 2, 4, 6, 8 out of 9.
Well, there were none.
There was zero.
So none had them. And
but
actually,
two had,
you know,
sandwiches.
And I think in their defense, I mean, it's not like, again, a triathlon where you just take the Ironman truck and run it down the course and
yeah.
drop stuff off. I mean, this is on different islands, some of them private, you know. Like,
the logistics of the behind the scenes yeah. did not didn't go unnoticed by us, I would say. I remember us thinking, like, this has got to be a nightmare to, like, sort yeah. of wrangle.
Yeah, and the Lars guy essentially had to do it by himself because his buddy, the co-founder of this guy, Jeff Cole, died suddenly, pretty suddenly. Yeah. That's what it made it sound like.
So, yeah, we were going on, and I would say if there's any lull in our event, it was kind of after that realization of that this is really long, and that's when my shoulders and both of our shoulders were getting really fatigued yeah, from swimming smoked. So much. And we knew coming in, we're like, one, we sort of are trying to be cute about it, but we know we're undertrained on the swim. But hey, if we could do 5K, no problem. If we could do 5K in the pool, and that's a big day for us, 7K, yeah. I'm going to suck it up for a couple K, broken over a couple rate.
Yeah.
I'll be fine with
especially
that.
Especially like a lot of, you know, we were taking turns drafting off each other. Yeah. I mean, you definitely did, what is it, the Yeoman's work on some of those big swims. But yeah, I mean, it was a lot. And I think even though we always go into it as a dare to be great situation, I think, you know, we were definitely feeling it on the run. I mean, on the swim. On the run, I mean, runners were fine. I feel like they were so split up that,
yeah,
you know, it didn't feel like the total accumulation of running, which was essentially like 16 miles.
Totally. And I guess, this is way too late, but I had been actually sick for the week before and I had been coughing. I hadn't done a run. And I think the day before, the day of the flight, I ran like 2 miles. I'm like, okay, I think I'll be okay. So this whole time I'm worried. I knew we had the stuff in the bank, but so our shoulders were getting really smoked and we were under fueled.
I think I was getting straight up hangry.
We were both kind of getting hangry and pissy.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say with each other. But
I was definitely at that point is when I really started complaining about the course and like the race yeah. director, and you actually brought me back. We're like, hey dude, we're freaking out here. Like,
well,
we gotta finish this.
I was like, yes, of course. I was just as upset, but I'm like, and this is where the partnership thing comes in.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, hey, I got to get this guy on board with me as fast as I can.
Yeah.
He's got poopy pants and I need to get the poopy pants off. So I was like, you know, trying to do all my, not motivational, but just, hey, everyone's racing the same course. Like,
yeah.
There's nothing we could do about it. We just got to race it and have fun.
Sure, sure. And luckily, you know, we weren't so undertrained that, you know, we were setting ourselves up for some sort of colossal failure or whatever. But
do not misunderstand us. Our arms were fucked up. We couldn't lift our arms for 2 days.
Yeah, if you would ask me for a high five the day after, I would have just like punched you in the stomach.
Get me low. Get me low. So I feel the last couple legs, maybe the last two swims and two things really started to wear on me. That's when I felt the race not dragging from a fun experience, but it was just that's when the real fatigue set in the shoulders. Yeah. And the sort of the lull or attitudes and everything were kind of really...
Yeah, and I actually think, for me, the second to last swim, which in the day before...
The sandbar one?
Yeah, they told us that swim was a non-swim because it was just a sandbar. So we're like, okay, that's interesting.
Yeah.
We get there, there's an aid station right in front of it with some lady who's like way too knowledgeable.
Nice. Yeah.
Like super knowledgeable.
She's like,
the
currents
are
in our
like
north.
Right there.
She did live on the island.
Yeah, I think so.
And we were so like, I remember I gave Chris my last gel because we were getting a little sideways. And then we were kind of shooting the shit with her for, you know, like you would never do in a triathlon.
Oh, hell no.
She's like, where are you from? I'm like, oh, San Francisco. And I was like, oh, the weather's been good. And, you know, like literally we shot the shit for probably 2 or 3 minutes. You had
like
your
drank
gel.
Water
drink water, complained.
Yeah.
And then Chris comes up and he's like, is this the sandbar? And we're looking and clearly it's not. There's no sandbar there.
Yeah.
And she's like, well, normally, yes, it is. But the high tide's coming.
Yeah, high tide's
coming
in.
Whatever.
What she didn't tell us was over the sandbar was a ridiculously strong current. So I think halfway through that swim,
we just stood up and hiked it through.
Yeah, stood up. I think you were still trying to swim. I stood up and I like yanked on the tether or something. Yeah. I'm like, dude,
get up, idiot.
Get up, dude. It's like, you're not going anywhere. I know.
It was when we were walking across, you had to actively, counter current it.
It almost felt like you were like going to go in undertow or whatever.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think there it was like, geez, okay, I'm ready for this experience to the over. Then the second to last
half mile run
was kind of like through this island, which is cool. It's cool.
And we started
island.
Running up against a lot of other teams. So that was cool because the first four legs were long course only. And I don't want to say we got dropped pretty quick, but we fell to the back of the middle the middle pack pretty quick.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think we were thinking we were going to
win
this thing. Yeah. It actually reminded me a lot of sort of a long trail run, like a 50K or something like that, where pretty quickly it kind of gets spread out.
Yeah.
And we were sort of hanging with the same people for a while there. And then, yeah, once we started coming up on a bunch of short course people and long course people that I think were fading.
Yeah.
I think if we quote made our move, it was even in like the last 2 miles, I think we passed.
Yeah, there was a half mile trail run and then a 640 yard swim.
Yeah.
Back to Cleves to finish. Cleves was the island that we finished on. And that was a two and a, that was one of our longer runs actually, almost 2.25 miles. And I remember thinking like, oh. I don't even want to run 2 miles because one, my fucking shoulders are on fire right now. And we're looking at our watch. We're like, God damn it. It's been 6-something hours. We had told our wives it was going to be this. Were we going to miss the ferry? Because there was very strict ferries of 12:30 or 12:10, 2:30 and 4:20.
Yeah. 4:20 was the last one.
Yeah. And we're like, fuck, we kind of started poo-pooing ourselves a little bit, but then, ironically enough, the finish ended up being shorter, which we were like,
yeah, it was
great.
Like the one time there was something shorter.
And we that ended up being one of our fastest runs of the day.
Oh, sure. Well, anytime, the finish line is there. I think we were both so, I mean, we're both over it at that point.
Yeah.
I think it doesn't matter what race you're doing. At some point, you're over it.
Right, yeah.
Even if it's a 5K, I'm sure that last little bit, you're like, okay, I'm done. With this experience, but yeah, we got it done. Pretty interesting crowd support towards the end. Folks like hanging out again. Tons of people on just their golf carts, just like
I think that's how you do.
Clap it. As you go by.
And they had a barbecue, so we finished. And as we were sort of approaching the ferry, sort of terminal was right there, and we saw a lot of people lined up, and we're like, shit, maybe the ferry's late, and we could sprint down to this thing to catch the ferry.
Yeah,
so we don't have to wait. Another 2 hours, 2.5 hours.
I'd like to call that the Bo Jackson, where you like score the touchdown and go immediately into
the locker room.
Right to the locker room.
So we pretty much Bo Jacksoned our way through. We finished. We got they had these Boco gear, short bill, kind of duck bill hats, which were pretty cool. Chris grabbed a hamburger they had foiled up. For some reason, I skipped the veggie burger. They had beers, and
I think I asked you 3 times. I'm like, are you sure you don't want a veggie burger? And you're like, nah. Which
I don't know why.
Yeah, I don't know why you did either. You had like cornbread.
I had a cornbread, which was good, and I like inhaled. I just think my stomach was. I wasn't.
Yeah.
And remember, this is so total. We finished in 6 hours, just a bee's dick under 6:20, so like 6:19 something, and we had. Three gels maybe?
Yeah.
Call it 400 calories max over 6 hours.
So I ended up having 4 gels. I think
I gave you one of mine.
You gave me one. I had 3, and then I took you one of yours.
I had 2 vanillas and a maple syrup.
And a maple syrup.
So I had 300 calories over 6 hours. So we are undercooked. And let's just call it maybe half of a PB&J.
Yeah. Oh, and that Pepsi that one lady.
Oh, yeah.
This one lady had like a can of Pepsi and just had it on the floor. I'm like, is that for runners?
she's like,
go at it, Hoss. I don't know what she said.
Yeah.
She was just like, sure. So.
Because that was right before we started the run, the final run to finish.
Oh, was it that?
Yeah.
Late?
And it was raining.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was the last thing because we popped her caps and her goggles off and she had it. And Chris was like, oh, you want it? I'm like, you know, and like peer pressure at a party, like you smoke the smoke. I'm like, okay. So I took half of it, or I took some of it, and I try to pass it around to other people, and they like looked at us like, oh, we don't drink that fucking Pepsi. I'm like, have you not been in this endurance situation?
Don't you know the worst kept secret of triathlon nutrition planning?
Like, soda. And they had, they brought their own sort of snacks out too. And I think we were kind of munching on those a little bit. They had like a Pringle or a chip or something that, so we made it 6 hours, let's just call it 6:20, blasted through. They had beers on ice.
Sure. And again, and what we were predicting or what the course said was 18 miles ended up being, 23 and change.
Yeah.
23.6 or something.
With 6 miles, so 10K of swimming.
Yeah. Which we added it up after from our Strava just to be like, what's going on?
Just to double check, but.
But yeah, I mean, as far as like crossing the finish line, I mean, I was pretty stoked. You know, I had just come off a DNF on, TRT, Tower Rim Trail 50. Right. So, you know, don't want to make too much of a habit of that. And not, I don't think it was ever in doubt, like not finishing. I think, you know, obviously you always want to be, I think we were ended up being like an hour and a half off the, you know, off the lead.
Yeah, I wonder if there's the.
So, you know, it wasn't super competitive, but I think, you know, we gave it a good effort. And I think it was such a fun experience to do together. Again, because we train together all the time, you know, our kids hang out and stuff. So it was just, you know, it's very different from triathlon in that respect where, yeah, you can be part of a club, which we are, you know, you could be supportive of a bunch of other people, but at the end of the day, it's just a time trial and to have to finish together and to do it as a team. I think it's why a lot of people, again, that are sort of heading in their post-triathlon
phase of life.
Yeah. I mean, a bunch of people find trail running cause it's, you know, way, way more chill. But I honestly think that the sport's going to grow here because once the word gets out, you know, there's a bunch of people that are kind of like, I'm kind of done doing like Lake Placid, you know?
Totally. And up there at the pre-race meeting, we talked to a couple other people and they're like, yeah, we're triathletes or, you know, everyone had their Ironman whatever bag or Ironman 70.3 bag. And I remember them saying just like, yeah, we're just kind of over the bike. Yeah. And especially with kids, like, could you imagine doing a travel race like as a family with your bike? Like it just seems logistically so crazy.
Yeah. I mean, I've traveled. I mean, so have you for Ironman races. Right. I mean, I think one of the things that I think most of the people we talked about or we talked with at the expo, they were like, isn't it nice not to travel with the bike? And everyone was like, oh my God, it's so nice.
We literally had our race gear in 4 days of clothes. I just had like a duffel bag and a backpack. A backpack that I wear to work to just keep my stuff in. But, okay. So is that the end of the race report section, we'll say?
I think so. I don't know if there's too much else. The ferry took a while. There weren't enough ferries. A bunch of people lined up and it was just like the local. It wasn't the express.
It was the local one. Yeah. And we got a lot of the local flavor from some of the people around. After the race, Chris got his burger. I got this piece of cornbread and these two beers because I was, you know, trying to be all fucking silly. I'm like, oh, I'll get your beer, Chris, even though I know he's not going to drink it. So I had two tall cans and I just start pounding one right away for some reason thinking that we were going to make this ferry and that in my head we're going to be eating within an hour.
Yeah. Oh, I think it's important to note that we ended up not changing because the weather was pretty miserable. So we just stayed in our wetsuits.
Because as we're walking to the ferry, we're like, oh, let's just change on the ferry.
Yeah.
And we get down there and then we quickly realize the ferry wasn't coming. We had missed it.
And it was, I mean, we weren't the only ones. I thought it was pretty smart to stay on because that's like the warmest thing that we could be in, even though we were wet.
And all the main natives have, you know, like you can tell in their bag, they just have their Patagonia rain jacket, their North Face, whatever to throw on. And here from California, we're like, oh, after the race, like, oh, shorts and a t-shirt, no problem. Yeah. And we would have been miserable in that.
I mean, I was. I ended up changing later, and I was in, like, the board shorts.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
And my main shirt.
And I just stayed there with, that's right. After one of the swims, our shoes got filled with sand. So for, like, the last two runs, we were just running on sand inside the shoes, like, rubbing between.
Yeah.
And so we took our shoes off and we're just standing there, and I had my wetsuit on, like drinking this beer, and we're just like talking with everyone. It was a fun.
Yeah,
we missed the ferry, but nice. So we had the 2:30 ferry that we got, and you know, it was good. And that's the end of the race report.
Yeah, it was good. It was okay. Definitely a fun thing.
Well, that's it for this week's episode. Thanks so much for listening to the show. Make sure to subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts and leave a review, since that's the best way to help other people discover the show and the sport of swim run.
Sign up for our newsletter at lowtideboys.com. That's boys with a Z. And check out our meme page at the Low Tide Boys on Instagram. If you have any suggestions for the show or questions for us, send us a DM or an email at lowtideboys@gmail.com.
We'd like to thank Riding Easy Records for our show music, and of course our wives for their support and tolerance of all our swim run activities, podcast, and other stuff.
Yeah, other stuff.
Other
way
stuff.
To, way to keep it PG. Finally, you can support our efforts on Patreon. Until next time, get out there and go for a swim.
Go for a run.
Then another swim.
Then another run.
And then another swim.
And then another run.
And then just keep going. Until you're done.
Until you're done. Or maybe can't stop.